knows the apron is the hardest part of the ring, but this is the nerdiest part of the ring. Your weekly news roundup for the wide world of professional wrestling. I am your host. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray. And joining me at this time is the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton.
Yeah.
Are you going to remember to talk this week?
Yeah, I got it this week. I still don't know why that happened last week. My brain
The
went.
Fact that you didn't pause there, like the fact you answered right away, is truly the one of the most disappointed I've ever been in you.
Which is really funny because I feel like the most disappointed you've ever been in me was last week whenever I didn't answer whenever you wanted me to
close.
Talk. I know, and that's why I was like, I can't do that 2 weeks in a row. And see, and this is why I can't figure you out sometimes, because I either over or under disappoint you at random sometimes.
It's a constant level. It's a pretty steady level of disappointment when it comes to you. But you do know I appreciate a bit.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of a bit. So I would have been annoyed, but not as annoyed, because I would have respected the bit. Last week, you just weren't paying attention.
I don't even want to blame it on work, because I always come in after work. But it was definitely one of those weeks where it was just like, it was a week. And then just...
Oh,
I thought you were gonna. I thought the sentence was going, and it didn't. And my brain didn't like. I was more confused on why you didn't keep talking, and I was trying to figure that out, and it just didn't work in my favor.
Well, you were correct. It very much was a week last week. It was WrestleMania week. Boom. Segue. Nailed it. Great host. We are talking about WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL this week. Our review. And thoughts on it. We're gonna talk about that. I almost went into a tangent, but no tangents. We're staying on schedule. We're recording late because I got a sick new tattoo.
It's so dope.
I'm so excited about it. You can find it on Twitter at the Five Star Man. Ninja Turtles are awesome. But I'm very positive about this tattoo. And speaking of positive, we start every episode with the power of positivity. You can laugh all you want. I am on one tonight. I need to get a tattoo before every show.
You've seen the Andy Samberg on James Franco's roast, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving me that vibe right now, and that's why it's getting me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for you to positively call me a sack of shit.
No, I'll just call you a sack of shit, Power of positivity. We start every episode with just something that we enjoy in the world of professional wrestling. Because the internet is such a negative and toxic place for no real reason, we try to do our part to combat that by talking about just something that made us happy. And mine is going to be a little bit of a hot take, Dalton.
Yes.
I haven't seen a lot of people talking about this
uh-huh.
over the weekend.
Yes.
Over the week. But my power of positivity goes to Samantha Irvin, WWE announcer. She is... fucking amazing. That's the bit, because like she's been getting her flowers, but she's not getting enough.
Yeah,
like this woman doesn't deserve flowers. She deserves a fucking botanical garden like named after her, because I think one of the things legitimately that I haven't seen too many people mention, but I think she really deserves credit for, is she did the entire WrestleMania broadcast both nights.
Yeah.
And, like, you, more than me, understand, like, the strain and the stress that goes, like, that people's voices go under.
Yeah.
And for her to maintain the same level of quality, like, fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
She's easily the greatest ring announcer of this generation. And honestly, like, I can see the argument for of all time.
Yeah.
Well, like, all due respect to Buffer and Finkel and Lillian Garcia, like, there's been some amazing ring announcers.
Yeah.
Actually, after the last WrestleMax show, me and Ben Simon, and I'm blanking on his name, but it was one of the fans that came to the after party, we're having this discussion, and we all just kind of were like, I mean, it might be Samantha Irvin. Like, she's so good.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Justin Roberts is up there, too. So, Tony Chimble.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of people... because, like, the thing that I was going to say, because I was the first night of Mania I watched with some people, and someone said, like, yeah, I don't know if she's better than Lillian Garcia. And I was like, here's the thing. Lillian Garcia was there for a long time. She had an amazing voice, like, and she was good at it. But I cannot tell you one iconic thing she did. But I can tell you, like, Samantha Irvin has done a lot of really, like, Samantha Irvin's, like, Chelsea Green. And the way she says a couple of them, is like right up there with the rated R superstar Tony Chimmel. Like
Irvin. Was I saying Irwin? I think I was getting it wrong this entire time.
It's Irvin.
Which totally, you know, I know it is.
Yeah.
But I think I was saying it wrong.
We've established We've established after last week, I don't remember what gets said on this podcast.
Apparently neither do I. That's fine.
So I'm also going to give Samantha Irvin my power of positivity for a different reason. Mm-hmm. And yes, like everything you just said is a big reason why I'm a big fan of hers. I've been a big fan of hers for pretty much since she started because she has such a powerful voice. And again, yeah, like for the reason Asa said, I know a lot about vocal strain. I have a degree in vocal music and like the amount of wear and tear people do on their voices. I've had conversations with wrestlers and coworkers alike on how to not wreck their shit because nothing's worse than losing your voice. I don't know how she does it. Her vocal like folds are made out of goddamn platinum. And not because her voice is so good. It's because that shit's indestructible. And that's how her vocal, like her vocal box is insane. But mine is going because I just like, it's been a week of petty in the world of wrestling. And a lot of it's very annoying, but there's one person that took petty to a whole new level of being shitty and, I'm here for it. And it's Samantha Irvin. Because Brian Hebner, of all people, had a hot take of her. Yeah, there you go, Asa. You know why she's my power of positivity. Brian Hebner, for some goddamn reason, went on Twitter and was talking shit. And Samantha Irvin is someone that catches a lot of shit on Twitter. And social media, she's a woman in wrestling. She's a woman of color in wrestling. I was getting there. Like, there's layers. So like, yes, she's never going to fully get the credit that a white man will get. And that sucks. So Brian Hebner goes off on this thing about how like her voice is like nails on a chalkboard, which is just fucking untrue. And she retweeted the report, one of the reports that showed up about it. And she said, "Oh my God, guys, is what I'm hearing actually true? Earl Hebner has a son that referees." And that broke me on such a fundamental level. Because obviously she fucking knows. And like, she just dunked on a motherfucker that wasn't worth her time. And yes, there are some people that probably not listening to this, because I feel like if you're listening to this show, you probably are also a fan of some petty bullshit. But there are people that are going to give her shit for that. But you know what would have avoided it?
She's being disrespectful.
Yeah, but you know what would have avoided it?
Him shutting his fucking mouth.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like him not opening his goddamn mouth about things. Because again, if Samantha Irvin was a referee and he didn't like the way she made a count, I'll let you say your piece. Maybe don't be shitty about it, but I'll let you say your piece. I don't feel like a referee should be talking shit about a ring announcer. The same way I don't think a wrestler should tell someone how to do commentary, because it's different fucking skills.
It's so to me, and this like is something that I thought about a lot recently, of the whole like toxic positivity thing of just like, even when something didn't go great, like I will never tell like, yeah, that was rough. Like I will commit. If you come back and you're like, if you came back from a match that you weren't happy with,
this is different between me and you.
It's entirely different between you and me. Like I would be more comfortable telling you like, yeah, this, you did this and I've done it. Like I've told you stuff that I didn't think looked good.
Yeah. 100%.
And I've pointed out and you like, we talk about it, but it's because we've known each other for so long.
Yeah. We're also best friends. So like if I'm coming to you, you've never come up to me unprompted and been like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, you'll come back and be like, what'd you think? And I will give you, the true, honest feedback. And not that I'm dishonest with other people if they ask me, but I feel so weird in that moment.
Yeah.
Because I've never wrestled. Like, I've been a fan of wrestling, and I can point out, like, if something looks rough or didn't go well. But I don't tell people that I'm not, like I wouldn't do that at, like, a WrestleMax show. If someone came back, or even at CCW. Like, if...
Anybody but me.
I'm comfortable saying this about them just because, like, we've known each other long enough. But, like, if no role model, if ATM or Munch came up and be like, hey, what did you think? Even now, if something was off, I'm not going to go straight to that. I'm going to focus on the positives of the stuff that I did like.
Yeah.
Because, like, well, I'm not a wrestler, man. Like, just because I didn't, something, and even if they did, like, not even, like, a botch. just like, ah, you went in a direction that I didn't particularly care for. You know, I thought maybe this went on a little bit long. I'm not going to bring that up because I've never put together a match. Mm-hmm. I've like, that's just not my arena to like, and so it's a weird thing of like giving feedback.
And it was, and it's also super important to note, like the, like, and you said toxic positivity, and what Brian Hebner did was just attacking. There was,
yeah, there was,
it was feedback. There was nothing, it was deconstructive feedback. There was nothing good about it. There was nothing that like, and now granted, if he would have said, well, if she'd have done it this way, I also would have been like, and you could shut the fuck up because like, you don't know. Now I've done commentary before and like, if someone, and I'm a little bit more open about it to where like, if someone asked me what I thought about something, not a wrestler, like if someone was like, mm-hmm. did you listen to the commentary? Yeah, I did. What'd you think about it? Well, and I mean, if you ask me that question, be ready for my open and honest feedback about it. But I've also done commentary before where like Brian Hebner has never rang announced. And I don't like, this is not being disrespectful towards Brian Hebner per se, but I hate when people are just being downright hateful. And he was being downright hateful.
Right. You don't say nails on the chalkboard if you're trying to give constructive feedback.
And like, yeah, here's, and this is like, I screenshot it so I could, because like, it wasn't my power of positivity, but I remember sending it to you because my exact phrase with you was, this is the perfect way on how to handle this kind of bullshit. Because again, yeah. 10 points for her for that tweet, because that was some dope shit right there. But like, the first line was Samantha Irvin's voice, and this is Brian Hebner, Samantha Irvin's voice in trying to overdo things is literally making me use my mute button more than I ever have.
Which, what, no, it's not.
What is actively, like, what is positive about that? And not saying that Bela, like, don't be toxically positive, but also that didn't need to get tweeted out there.
Right, that's just a dick thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, but it's also a lie. No, you're not. You are not going through the effort of muting in the middle of her calls. You're just not
doing, no, at it. The most, you're rolling your eyes and being shitty to whoever's sitting by you.
Which is no one, because you're miserable and probably alone. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that too mean?
A little bit. What was it last week? That's the one shitty thing I'll say. It was pretty shitty. It was true. Again, I went back and listened to the predictions for reasons that we will discuss in a minute, but I remember that part and it fucking broke me when I listened to it.
Yeah. And the main thing that cemented her as being my power of positivity will come up in night one, because it is just like one of my favorite things to happen in wrestling in a long time.
Did you watch the Monday Night Raw segment with Cody?
No.
All right, so he gets in the ring, and, like, he starts talking, and he was like, it might have been right before he started his promo, but he was like,
I did see this.
He was like, Samantha, one more time, please. And, mm-hmm. like, just for Cody, who has, like, just won the UU title and, like, gets the floor to talk for however long he wants before Rock comes and Buttle fucks it, to, like, be like, no, we're going to start this correctly. I want to hear Samantha Irvin call my shit again. Like, yeah. That made me genuine, like, I adored that so much. Because, again, it's such a nod to somebody, mm-hmm. that, again, Shannon, I think it was, it's Shannon Young's story, but I think it was Tommy Dreamer that said, you have the most important, unimportant job. Where, like, your job is so important, but nobody will ever, like, notice it.
Right.
And, like, it's absolutely true. So for Cody to do that the night after Mania on, like, one of the most watched Raw, like, the highest gate that a live wrestling, like, a weekly, like, wrestling show has gotten, for Cody to be like, no, I want her to do that again because she's real fucking good at it. Like, that made my heart happy. But yeah, we've been super positive for a while, so let's see if Mania breaks this positivity, Asa.
Well, we'll see. Because we actually haven't talked about our overall thoughts of the show.
We were doing
live, like, we were talking, messaging back and forth as the show was going on, but we haven't talked, like, overall thoughts, so.
We haven't.
Kicking things off with night one, Rhea Ripley defeats Becky Lynch to retain the Women's World Championship. Almost my power positivity was Becky Lynch, who apparently, like, this was her Michael Jordan flu game.
Yeah.
Because she had, like, in the weeks coming up, or, like, that week, she had strep throat, at one point, 102 degree fever. Like, she was sick. And I don't know if you've had strep before, But you know what I don't want to do? Because I had strep relatively recently, like it was within the last year. Mm-hmm. You know what I don't want to do when you have strep? Move. Or getting over strep?
Move.
Literally anything. It yeah. exhausts you. It sucks. So, like, for her and Rhea to go out, I didn't like this as much as Rhea's Charlotte match mm-hmm. last year. I was ultimately, like, a little underwhelmed. I really liked the finish.
Yeah, the finish was dope.
Of the Riptide onto the turnbuckle and then the immediate follow-up. I dug that a lot. Becky gave her the fucking world as far as selling goes.
Yeah.
And honestly, this match kind of cemented that, like, oh shit, Rhea Ripley is way more generous than she... Not needs to be, but, like, than she could be.
Oh, yeah. She could totally, like, with her name power right now and her, like,
stock... And just stature and build.
Yeah.
Like, she bumps like a mad woman.
And I don't like that I'm using this name for obvious reasons, but it's very Lesnar-esque. Where it's, like,
yeah.
she doesn't... I know, I'm sorry. She doesn't no. have to, like, do half the shit she does. But mm-hmm. when... but. She does, for one, and two, when she, or and also when she does it, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah,
like
and it makes her opponent look great as well.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley fucking gets wrestling. Like yeah. she like, and I'm gonna say that a lot on this show, by the way. But,
yeah, it's almost like the pinnacle of the sport.
Yeah,
is just like all we're putting all like the really great people ones. Yes,
yeah. You mean Mojo didn't make it on the right, the main card? I saw a Mojo Rawley thing recently and I just remembered like, man, that was a person they hired and had on salary for a long time. But yeah, no, like I liked this match a lot. I also don't think it was as good as, the Charlotte. Match. Yeah. Charlotte. Yeah. Which I mean, I think the only other women's match that I think would is better than Charlotte and Ripley is Sasha and Bianca at Mania.
Oh yeah. Like Don't get me wrong, like, that is an incredibly high bar to clear.
Yeah.
But if anyone could clear it...
Becky.
It's Rhea again and Becky.
Yeah.
So...
It was a good match. And, like, I don't even want to put the conditional of, yes, with everything that Becky was going through. No, it was a good match regardless. If anything, right. It makes it more impressive that she was, like... her body was actively fighting her as she was doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really cool. I liked that match a lot.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I was a little underwhelmed by it, but like given the circumstances, who the fuck am I to say anything about mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
Next up was the 6-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. A-Town Down Under won the SmackDown Championships and the Awesome Truth won the Raw Tag Team Championships. Defeating the Judgment Day, DIY, the New Day, New Catch Republic, and the New Catch Republic. This was a train wreck of a yeah. match. It was a million miles a minute. Ultimately, I think the right teams won. I would have preferred DIY over A-Town Down Under, or like, obviously, like if the New Day's win wrestling, I want the New Day to win. But I'm excited to see what A-Town Down Under do with it, because they have become a fun, just like obnoxious himbo troll team, so they've been fun to watch.
Yeah.
The fact that they dared give us the tag team breakdown from Pretty Deadly, as Pretty Deadly isn't in this match, I don't get it. I will refuse to see reason. You can explain it to me and I'll just be like, cool, also don't care. Too long, didn't read. Like, they should have been in this.
They could have cut that promo on the way. They could have been the second to last team and then actively had him cut that promo walking down. Because also, that ramp was fucking long.
Yeah.
I don't know her last name, and that's very unfortunate. But Jess, the female or the lady ref they have at WWE, I want to give her a shout out for trying to protect Damian Priest. Just for then Damian Priest to be the most fucking worker about it. It's fine. And then realizing yeah. that it's not fine.
Oh, actually.
Because again, like, I was like, did they blow a spot? And then someone, I think it was Sadie, was like, no, the ladder's fucked up. And I was like, no, it's not. And then I look and I was like,
she's yelling, get a different ladder, get a different ladder.
Yeah. And whenever you see him jump off, you can tell Damian Priest was like, ooh, okay, let's do this as not hurt myself as possible. Mm-hmm. I want to give her a shout out for, again, because again, things like that, you don't, unless you're there, you don't notice. And yeah, I don't like heights to begin with. And I've been on record saying that my least favorite kind of match in the last 2 years is a ladder match for personal reasons. I hate ladder matches because there's so much room for error. So, yeah, for her to be paying that much attention to being like, hey, don't. Just for Damian Priest be like, it's cool.
Yeah, like, it's fine. I'm not a giant of a man on an already compromised ladder. What could go wrong?
As another full-grown man climbs up the other side of the ladder.
The broken side of it, too. He didn't even get the broken side. He made the Miz do that.
Yeah, which, I mean, fortunately, like, scientifically, that was probably best-case scenario, because Priest was anchoring it. So, like, he jumped off as gingerly as possible so Miz could take a safe bump. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it was just funny. Just because I was like, well, he said, fuck that. And then, yeah, the second it happened, he then threw the ladder at all the refs like they did something wrong.
Yeah. Just launched it.
Now, granted, he didn't throw it at the refs. It was just a side that all the refs were on, and I thought was very funny.
So the two things that really stand out were the back-to-back DIY spots off the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
With the main one, just the air raid crash, just off the ladder, onto the mat, no table, nothing, just like, whew.
Well, it was also, it was angled perfectly that I was like, is he gonna back eject off this? Because the two tables that were off to the side that I think JD went through, like, he was on that side with the air raid, and I was like, I hope Tommaso don't think that he can jump that far. Because again, like, I was at War Games when he did it off the top of the cell with Cole. And I was like, oh no, Ciampa's built different. He don't give a single flying fuck sometimes. I was like, he's gonna jump off. He's gonna go through those goddamn tables. He's flying. Mm-hmm. My favorite spot will be the, I'm gonna call it a slingshot DDT because I don't really know it. It's like a float over slingshot DDT that Gargano does. But he started doing it more on the outside of the ring. He used to do it on the inside. And I know that because Jay Spade used to do it. Like, he stole that from... We all steal from Gargano. Like, that's a... He is the most stolen from wrestler on the indies. He started doing it on the outside, and he did it to, I think, Pete Dunne. Oh, yeah, he did it to Pete Dunne, because as he did it, I literally went, fuck you, Pete Dunne. Because it was just... he just went. It was awesome. That match was... It was exactly what it needed to be. It was a full train wreck. But, yeah... It was a good call having A-Town Down Under win the SmackDown titles, just because, and they got fucked off in quick order after they got the belts, which I loved.
I was a little surprised that Austin went for the Raw titles. Like, I kind of figured the way this match was set up, with the championships kind of being, you know, on other sides of the ring, speaking of which, off center.
Speaking of which, that one moment made me okay with the match, because if you remember last week, I was like, this is the dumbest fucking thing ever. The second they showed off that they were like 5 feet apart, I was like, less stupid, kind of.
Yeah. It did bother me that all of the like setup spots were still putting the ladder in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
Asa, I get what you're saying. I'm going to let you know.
Oh, I know why. I know why. But, like, come on.
Yeah,
it doesn't look good.
It's a tell, yeah.
But, yeah, so I kind of thought, like, whoever won the first set would just be like, fuck you, I'm out. I don't have to do this anymore. So it was kind of neat to see them, like, go for it, even though it, you know, ended up biting them in the ass with another really cool moment for Xavier Woods hitting the limit break elbow through the ladder.
That was cool.
Whichever one of them.
Was it Grayson? I think it was Grayson Waller.
I think it was Grayson, because I thought Theory went out on the outside.
Yeah. But I will say they did a really good job teasing us throughout the rest of the match with the awesome truth. But at the end, it ended up being what you said. There was zero chance that we weren't going to get R-Truth on the top of the ladder with one of those belts.
Yep.
And we got it, and it was so great. It was so heartwarming.
Which really, the fact that they had to do that after R-Truth... got the pin. Are we gonna just ignore the fact that R-Truth pinned Fuck.
Somebody.
Was it Balor?
Maybe. I don't know. He pinned somebody.
It was either... I think it was one of the Judgment Day or one of the A-Town Down Under guys. I don't remember. But he hit the Attitude Adjustment and pinned him. But unfortunately, they still had to, like, pull it down, which was BS. It was a fun match. Nothing particularly, like, memorable, but it was cool to see R-Truth get his WrestleMania moment.
Yeah. We're going to have to speed through this. We got 11 more matches to talk about.
Oh, I know. There's a couple that we're not going to have a ton to say on.
No, yeah.
Next, like this next one, for example, probably. Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio were defeated against Rey Mysterio and replacement opponent Andrade. When we did the preview show, SmackDown hadn't happened yet. Dragon Lee got taken out backstage. Wonder by who? And then was replaced by Andrade, who turned on Dominic and Santos. Rey and Andrade got the win after two masked luchadors prevented Dominic from hitting Rey with the steel chair.
Mm-hmm.
And sending him, which should have been a disqualification anyway.
The ref didn't see it.
Well, get better. And then it was revealed after the match that it was Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
From the Philadelphia Eagles. There had been a lot of rumors about them getting Jason Kelsey involved. I'm not a football person. I am aware of who Jason Kelsey is, mostly because he did Last Meals with Josh Scherr on Mythical Kitchen.
Yeah.
He seems like a very likable dude. I don't love this. Like, I didn't love this way of them getting involved.
There's like some. All right, you're not a football person at all, and I know. Did you see anything after the Chiefs won where Jason Kelsey, because his brother plays for the Chiefs,
was in the Chiefs luchador mask and not like no shirt, just well, going no, nuts.
He was.
Yeah,
he was wearing a shirt then. He was wearing a shirt then.
Okay.
But yeah, no, just the fact that it was a Chiefs Rey Mysterio mask, because Rey Mysterio's mask is the most replicated mask of all time. Maybe, like, El Santo's mask. No, I'm going to say Rey Mysterio has the most replicated mask of all time. And I can say that pretty, like, solidly. I'd stand on that. So, like, everybody has that. So he was wearing a Chiefs Rey Mysterio mask at the Chiefs after party of the Super Bowl. So it just makes me super happy that he got involved in Rey Mysterio's match. Wearing a Philadelphia Eagles Rey Mysterio's mask. The only thing that disappointed me about this match was Rey Mysterio's gear, because we all thought, like, I think you texted me being like, oh, it's Vulture.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, that's amazing, because he's done Spider-Man villains before. For it then to be the Eagles Kelly Green gear, which hits for me. If I wouldn't have thought Vulture right away, because you put that in my head, I would have loved that gear. But it bummed me out so much.
My dumbass didn't go to, a bird theme with green and silver coloring, no. And they're in Philadelphia. What could that be a reference to? Ah, obviously the Vulture, you fucking nerd.
Well, here's the thing. You weren't wrong for thinking it, because whenever you said it, I had justified it, because I was like, oh yeah, he did Mysterio like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Rey Mysterio has done comic book shit before. That's really fucking cool that he did a Vulture. And then he turned around and I saw his ass, which said Mysterio like in the Eagles font. And like, it's not that, this is a really weird thing to talk about. It's not the Eagles' actual like normal color. It was the Eagles' color from like 25 years ago. Which like they do throwback jerseys of every couple years. Like it's the Kelly Green jersey. I think I even texted you that. It's like one of the more iconic football jerseys is the Eagles Kelly Green gear or jerseys. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that was a cool pull from Mysterio, but man, you really broke my heart, because I also thought it was Vulture whenever you put it in my head.
As far as the match goes, it was good. They got the LWO slingshot spot in,
yeah,
which is never going to look unimpressive like that. It's always cool to see. Zelina Vega and Electra Lopez kind of got their moment. It was a fine match. I fully think that they should have let Dom and Santos win, and then they could have tried to injure Rey after the match, and that's when Kelsey and Johnson come in to make the save. Like, that would have been less of a eh, whatever. But it's fine, whatever. Next up, Jey Uso defeated Jimmy Uso. And man, I really wanted to like this match more than I did.
Yeah.
It's, and I know I just got done talking about how I don't like giving criticism because I'm not a wrestler, but like, I don't know, like, they have amazing tag team chemistry, but like, as opponents, it just, it didn't come together. It was just a lot of super kicks.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, like, and I wasn't there when they talked the match out. Like, I don't know what they wanted to do. But it did feel like they were trying to put a lot in a little. Like, it's my favorite, like, it's one of my favorite things to say, is they were putting 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was a lot, but not a lot at the same time. Like, it's that, I have a problem doing this. You talk a whole lot, but don't mean anything. That's what this match kind of felt like.
Yeah, and I just, again, it's one of those, like, did Jey need to win here?
Oh, yeah, like,
and, like, the whole fake apology thing that Jimmy did was so see-through that, on the one hand, I'm glad that it didn't win him the match, but, like, it almost would have felt, like, more impactful if Jey had been like, you know what, yeah, fine, where it's, and then Jimmy actually, like, fucking brutalizes him, and then you can keep it going down the line. But I don't know.
Oh, you know what? I much rather.
A lot of this is going to be in the follow up. Like, we know Jey Uso is next in line to challenge Damian Priest.
Yeah.
But like, it'll be interesting to see what is next for Jimmy, with Roman having lost the match and the titles, yeah, and all of that. So
I much would have rather for Jimmy to go for the like apology thing, and had Jey just murder him there.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Because, again, we're not going to feel bad for Jimmy Uso. We literally had a whole Royal Rumble where he would try
everybody
was fucking him up. Like, because, mm-hmm, again, like, I hate whenever wrestling makes faces look dumb.
Yeah.
And that made Jey look dumb. Like,
it's, to me, so, like, the only thing is, like, at least this time, there is that genuine connection of them being twins.
Yeah.
Versus just, like, oh, we tagged together for 4 months.
Yeah,
and now we're, so they're like, I will give it that credit, but yeah, I just, this match did not click for me. It seems to have not clicked for really anybody.
I had somebody that I'm really close with, and actually, like, a booker that I'm really good friends with and another wrestler I'm really good friends with both texted me after the match being like, so that sucked, right? And I was, mm-hmm, like, yeah, that was not, it was. The moves themselves, like, there was nothing sloppy about the match.
Right.
It was a technically sound, no bad moves, everything was where it needed to be, but it was not put together properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the parts were good, but you put them in the wrong spot.
And I wonder if, like you said, we weren't there when they put it together. We don't know if they had time cut, you know, a million
things. We don't know if their agent was being, you have to do this, like.
Right.
There's a bunch of things that could have happened.
So, but yeah, that's a bummer. 6-woman tag team matchup as Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, Naomi defeated Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. This is another one that it was more about the entrances and the kind of like story of Jade Cargill making her WrestleMania debut.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to make every Jade Cargill moment feel like the biggest moment ever. Which is a choice that they are going with. I love the entrances were awesome. The attires were great. The match itself was exactly what it was going to be. It was fast. It was just to get, Bianca showed out, more than I thought that, like, I very much felt like this was going to be Jade's match. But Bianca showed out. Naomi got to do some cool stuff. Damage Control played their parts pretty much to perfection, unless you ask Mark Henry. Like, I thought this was a perfectly cromulent 6-woman tag match.
Yeah. Dalton. No, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No,
I'm going to choke you.
No, I was trying to, like, I was looking up to see who Jade pinned.
It was Dakota, wasn't it?
I think so, because that's who I said I was like, and whenever Jade pins Dakota. So I was actually, like, trying to look up who she pinned, because I was going to be like, and I was right, because she pinned
It was Kai.
It was Kai, yeah, because that was the obvious choice. I felt really bad for Bianca, because her music did not fade in well to that entrance at all. Because, like, it was big epic Jade comes out, big epic Naomi, and then just... And their music faded in and out pretty well, and then Bianca's like, you can't do anything with that music. It is just loud and brash, and I love it. Like, it's not bad music, it's just it did not fit the theme at which we were going. Yeah, no, it was fine. It's what it needed to be. I liked it. I feel like it was a really well done six-man tag match. Yeah, it was dope. And yeah, it ended the way it needed it. It ended the same way we thought it was. Again, there was a lot of very predictable in this Mania for me. But predictable doesn't mean bad. Predictable just means, yeah, that's what was going to happen. And that's how I felt about this match. It was good. It was really good. There's not a single person in this match that I hate. There's actually six women in this match that I'm a genuine fan of all six. Pretty dope.
But it wasn't, there wasn't like a big story there.
No.
Like there was enough there that they were able to, you know, like I talked about last week in our preview of how, no, everything has at least a couple weeks or months worth of backstory they could kind of lean on. And this was there with Naomi and Bianca's whole, Bianca's been fucking with, correction, Damage Control's been fucking with Bianca for a year, so.
But I will say the one I argued with about was the Rey Dominic Santos Dragon Lee. That was so slapped together. We got a whole new partner the day before the show.
You're not wrong.
That was the only one I argued with, and I was like, no, not really.
Next up is probably going to be, again, this is, I legitimately mean this, might be somewhat, not controversial, but like surprising to people, my match of the weekend.
What?
Sami Zayn defeated Gunther to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship. The final call of her voice breaking because like she's so emotional.
Yeah.
Is like one of my favorite moments. And I know she did the same thing ended up happening with Cody, which kind of like undercuts it a touch, but not really.
Yeah.
I loved this match. I loved the story. I loved the fact that Gunther's just like, hey, you know what? Fuck this dude. I'm gonna do a frog splash.
Yeah.
Shit, he kicked out? All right, I'll do another one.
Yeah.
And then Sammy finally just like he has his the fucking It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
A seizure
popped
of strength.
In my head of the it's the seizure of strength. But he hit the fucking brainbuster on the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Like the noise that I made when I saw that. And it's like, oh shit, he's gonna do it.
He's doing, yeah, like, yeah. I can't believe it.
I loved this match. Yeah. I loved this story. And I think the reason that I say this is my match of the weekend is because, like, I do think it kind of sucks that we ended two historic campaigns the same weekend.
Yeah.
I do think that was, you know, a decision. But I have enjoyed, and I've said this before, I've enjoyed Gunther's reign way more than Roman's. The matches, the story, like, from a promo storytelling sense, obviously the Bloodline story is going to go down as one of the greatest WWE's ever done.
Yeah, 100%.
But as far as, like, in-ring and matches go, Gunther is leagues above in my enjoyment level.
Yeah.
Of the stuff that we've gotten out of Roman. And Roman has been doing great, but goddamn, this Gunther run has been just tremendous. So I loved this match. I loved the way it was coming. It was put together. It also felt more surprising than Cody winning.
Oh yeah. Cause like nobody,
by a lot.
Nobody had Sami Zayn winning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and like I was waiting for it cause I didn't think he was going to win. He just kept beating the dog shit out of Sami. And I was like, all right, you're going to have to give him a hope spot. And it wasn't happening. Like, and it got progressively worse. And it's like, all right, now he's calling out Sammy's wife. Now, now he's going to get a hope spot. Nope, frog splash. All right, he's going to miss. He didn't. What the fuck? And it wasn't until the seizure of strength. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, this match is a choice. Like, they are making Gunther look like he's just playing with his food. And now, granted, like, that was the point. Like, they didn't, like... It was whoever decided that was how that match was going to go really deserves like an extra like $1,000 on their paycheck, because it was so gross of just like, man, they are just really making Gunther look like a killer, because he's not losing this match. And it's just like, wait, what? And then, yeah, the second he hit the brainbuster, I was like, if he loses, I'm going to be so mad, because he, I don't think he's done that move in WWE and WWE or NXT. Like, he has not done that move in like 15 years. And just for them to use it for Mania to not put somebody away was going to make me mad. Fortunately, yeah, they didn't make me mad. Allie still watches the pay-per-views at my house. And again, she doesn't like, she knows the bare minimum of El Generico and all that. But I was just like, I just can't believe he pulled out his trainer's move. And then I did the rest in peace Generico, and I actually got her to laugh at that, which made me really happy. I was like, good. That was good.
That reminds me, so before the match started, the moment of him with his son, and then with Gable, and then with Owens, and I'm like, this dude's about to run through a brick fucking wall. Let's go. That was the moment that I was like, holy shit, they might do this.
Yeah. And fortunately, we both picked Gunther, so it wasn't going to hurt our records. Yeah.
So I adored this match. I loved the ending. It was so good. And I cannot wait to see what they do with Zayn as a champion. I cannot wait to see, like, Gunther's rise to the main event and see, you know, how that goes. Like, him there taking the belt off Cody in Berlin. Let's go.
There was a lot of people that got flowers from COVID run WWE.
Yeah.
Because, like, Sammy, again, like, we talk about Bayley, which we will in a minute, but, like Sammy also during that those COVID things, like, he was gone for the first bit, but when he came back and he got the IC title and was doing the whole conspiracy theory, that's how we ended up with Bloodline Sami Zayn. So, like, and someone, if someone listens to this, be like, well, he got the tag titles last year. Give Sammy his flowers every Mania.
He's another person that, like, he gets a garden.
Yeah. And
like,
it's,
no.
Yeah. Get, he always like, gets it. He gets the world. Just because of his ability to tell a story within promo and the match itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, like Rhea Ripley, that's a man that just understands how all of this works.
Yep. So that was my favorite match of the weekend, and it's like not particularly close. But the main event of night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns defeated Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes so that the main event of night two would be under Bloodline rules. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was almost 50 minutes. There was just a lot of nothing brawling on the outside. They went through the crowd and there was really no payoff big spot there. The whole like Rock being like telling the referee, like, if you count, you're fired, completely undercuts this entire story you're telling. Just like, all right, well, why would he honor his word night two if they somehow win? Like, it's just, there's going to be bullshit regardless. You have told me that there's going to be bullshit tomorrow night.
Yeah.
There were a couple cool moments, like the double pedigrees was neat. I don't know. I just, this did not vibe with me.
If it would have been 30 minutes shorter... Which, by the way, I just said if this was 30 minutes shorter, it would have been fine.
Yeah. And also, it's just one of those things of, like, the realization of just, like, and we talked about it in the preview show, of just, like, if you think The Rock isn't getting the win in the one match he's having this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You're out of your mind. And wouldn't you know it, The Rock hits the people's elbow, gets the win. It went way too long. A whole lot of nothing really happened. Rock did good heel shit in the match, which was cool to see.
Yeah.
You know, nothing was, like, no one did a bad job. But just, like, I don't know. It went way too long. Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, moving on to night two. Oh, go back. There we go. Opening contest was Seth freaking Rollins losing the World Heavyweight Championship to Drew McIntyre.
Why was the power of positivity not Drew McIntyre tweeting during the match? That was the best thing. So again, I was watching the match with Sadie, and I like, he goes over to his wife, he grabs a phone, and she's like, "What's he doing?" And I instantly got up, because I sent you the screenshot right away. Mm-hmm. I went straight to Twitter, I went to True, and it was just bored at work, LOL. And I was just like, this man may be the greatest of all time. Because, like, yeah, no, that tweet was preloaded, I get it, it was a draft.
Right.
But just the fact that, like, that's what we got. In the middle of a world title match at Mania, and Drew McIntyre, who is just player hater of the goddamn year, to the point that he referenced it on his own Twitter. Again, mm-hmm. My power of positivity should have been Drew McIntyre's Twitter.
Incorrect. Your power of positivity should have been Bad Bunny responding to it saying, "How was your shift?"
That was good too. But yeah, no, just like him tweeting during it. The match itself was like, I was not expecting just both of them to start out with unlimited finishers. Because it was right away. Like, it was just boom, 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 boom. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Drew getting the pin. Go ahead.
I liked the idea of, like, Rollins was already going in banged up, plus everything he went through the night before, getting speared through the barricade, like, all that shit, like, it played into it. They did a very good job with it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, even Rollins being like, "You fucking deserve it," to him. Because he didn't cheat. Like,
no.
It's very important to note, like, Drew is one of the most interesting heels that is on the roster.
Yeah.
Right now. Because of how he plays his character. So I love that he got his moment. I love that he got the championship win in front of crowd. Like, it was an emotional moment. He got the moment with his wife.
Yeah.
And then, in what would be the theme of the night, he couldn't let it go.
No.
He had to talk some shit to CM Punk. CM Punk, who's on commentary, takes off the arm brace.
Really quick, before you do that, the conversation they were having between each other, whenever Drew is standing on the table and, like, is crouched over his
face. "I'll end your career. I will literally murder you. And Punk's like, "I can't hear you. I got cans on."
Drew being like, "No, I want you to zoom in on this. I want to put this on my fireplace," or whatever he said. I want to hang this frame on my wall. And then as he's standing up over him, Punk's like, "I've never seen anybody win a world title while someone else's name is being chanted." Like, and then, yeah, it was the suck it moment. And it was done so well. And then I lost feed. My internet sucked during this, so I missed what happened next. I know what happened next, but Asa, go ahead.
What happened next is CM Punk trips him, throws some punches. Like, it was a weird cash in because, like, Punk didn't unload on him with a chair. Like, he just kind of beat him up, man.
He hit him with that loaded arm brace.
I mean, he didn't, though.
No, he hit him with the arm brace.
Oh, did he hit him with the arm
brace?
Yeah,
he folded it up and domed him. That's whenever I lost my service.
Okay, I think I missed that part. I guess I must have, like, missed that part, because I was just like, because he, like, hit him a few times and tripped him on the announce table.
He took the arm brace off and domed him with it.
Okay. I thought he took the arm brace off to show, like, "No, look, I can fuck you up."
Yeah, no, he hit him with the arm brace.
Thank you. So that is a little bit extra context. But then Damian Priest's music hits. He comes out, blasts Drew with the briefcase, cashes in. South of Heaven, 1-2-3, and new World Heavyweight Champion. Damian Priest. Awesome moment. I am so excited for Priest. I really hope they give him a good run, let him do some interesting shit. I hope it's not an immediate Judgment Day dissolution, because I love that group as a whole. Also, him coming out in that suit last night.
Oh, that was dope. Yeah.
All rise, yes, sir.
In more ways than one.
And also the shot of Punk, like, turning when he hears the music and realizes what's happening. He's just like, "Fuck you."
Yeah. Because, again, like, his smile during it. I ended up going back and watching it, but it's one of those, like, if you go through Punk's career, like, he's had that briefcase, like, 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, he's like, "Oh, this is
good
what,
on you.
This is what that's like, huh?" It was so good.
Next up was The Pride. if that's even what they're really called, because, like, no one in WWE calls them that. Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab defeated the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Occam, Razor with Scarlett and Paul Ellering in a Philadelphia street fight. They brought out Bubba Ray Dudley to be the special guest referee, which ultimately didn't matter. They did the Wazzah spot. This, again, was just kind of a transitional match. Nothing wrong with it. I think the Pride winning is the good call. I'm weirdly interested in seeing AOP go back to NXT, which could be neat. And the matches that they have with Frazier and Axiom are going to be silly.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. They had the unfortunate table break as they were getting that set up. And then, like, they did the get the tables part after someone had already gone through a table, like, 30 seconds before.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
That was a choice, but this was harmless. I wasn't as impressed with anybody coming out of it as I was really hoping I was going to be, but it was fine.
Yeah. I mean, it was six people that we are a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we like both tag teams involved. We like both singles people involved. Like, it was, like you said, it was harmless. Like,
yeah,
it happened. Again, I get that they... Go ahead.
Finish your thought, because I got something that we'll talk about for a second, probably.
Okay. I totally hate the ECW influence of that match of, like, oh, Bubba Ray's here. Like, I get the staying power of ECW, and I get that it's iconic to the world of wrestling. But there was how many people there? Like, 80,000 in that ballpark? And it's like, I guarantee you that maybe 200 of those people went to an ECW show in 98. Let's stop. Like, we don't have to fillet ECW every time we're in Philadelphia. Also, to the point that it makes zero sense that Bubba Ray, whose only thing he does in wrestling right now are indies and Busted Open, is reffing something. Like, it was just, it's weird.
Yeah. It was
like, it's not the dumbest thing, and I don't hate that they did it. It's just like,
and he didn't make the match worse by being in it.
The glasses spot was hokey. Like,
yeah, which again, it was mostly harmless. I'll tell you what wasn't harmless. Fucking Snoop Dogg on commentary.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. That was awful.
Speaking of which, me and you are the only two people that have that opinion.
Well, that's fine. But, like, he stepped on everything. He stepped on everybody else. He didn't really care what was happening. Like, it just, did you guys know Snoop Dogg smokes weed? Let's talk about that a lot. Just, I didn't care. It was bad. I did not enjoy that one bit.
Yeah. We had texted about it. Cause again, we didn't talk about our overall thoughts of Mania, but, like, we were actively texting each other the whole time. And I was just like, I need Snoop Dogg off the mic. Because the unfortunate thing is, we just had CM Punk. And, like, he's good on commentary. And we go from that to that. And I'm a huge Pat McAfee fan. It's been stated on the show before. We cannot have someone that is doing dumb shtick next to Pat McAfee. Because Pat McAfee feeds off that. And, like...
And it makes... And, like, I am not entirely sold... I wasn't entirely sold on McAfee on commentary this weekend. But, like, this made it so much worse.
Yeah.
Like, it made me appreciate fucking Booker T on commentary on NXT, who also, bad.
Chews up
should
a lot.
Not be doing, like, yeah, bad. Anyway, moving on. Because we gotta keep going. LA Knight defeated AJ Styles. This was probably... Overall, I think I liked Knight 2 better than Knight 1. But I think this is dark horse for, like, people are sleeping on this match. Yeah. I've not seen people talk about this match, and I really enjoyed it. I like this heel character of AJ Styles, who's just like, you replaced me in a tag team match last year. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to fly across the world to fuck you up. LA Knight is over his shit. He got a win that did feel like it mattered. They were making such a big deal about him getting his WrestleMania moment. Well, real quick sidebar. If they kept saying stand and deliver moment on NXT, I was going to lose my mind.
Oh, that's good. I didn't watch it.
Shut the fuck up. That's such a stupid thing to say.
Is that why they got
rid of it? It doesn't mean the same thing as WrestleMania moment, and you know it. Stop trying to make it happen.
Maybe that's why they
quit trying to make fetch happen.
Maybe that's why they quit using TakeOver. Anyway, no, it was a good match. I loved the finish. AJ Styles, like I said it, I was like, if we had a Hall of Fame of people that just had perfect control of their body, like AJ Styles is in the first round. Like,
yes,
he just, that dude just knows how his body is supposed to move. As long as you don't spear him, he over brothers the bump a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, no, I adored this match. It was so good. And yeah, people aren't talking about it. I think the issue of it is that so many good stories, like we got the Cody thing, but then also like we had Gunther, Sami Zayn, which I think is Cody, Sami Zayn. Those are the two things people mm-hmm. are like really gushing about.
And then even like, speaking of things people aren't talking about enough, Bayley, which we're about to get to. So like, yeah, there's a lot, this is a very newsworthy WrestleMania. So I understand why it kind of is not getting the attention that I think it deserves. But like, even just like AJ Styles makes his entrance. He's got cool new music. Awesome. Mm-hmm. LA Knight comes out and just like attacks AJ right away.
Yeah.
Like, how you do a grudge match. Yeah. That's how you fucking do a grudge match. It's just like, you know what? No, I'm going to fight this fucker backstage. I'm going to fight this fucker. Oh, my cats are trying to fight each other. God damn it.
Yeah. about to say, Zeb's been trying to get in for a minute.
I'm going to fight this motherfucker backstage. I'm going to fight this motherfucker at his house. I'm going to fight this motherfucker at a meet and greet. Like, so that's how you do that, is you have Knight fucking rush him. And he did. And then you just go into it. It was like a relatively, everything kind of like, there wasn't a whole lot of downtime, it felt like. And I really liked this match a lot. And I'm excited to see where AJ goes from here. I'm very curious if we finally pull the trigger on, I still think that it didn't happen this weekend. So, all right, is LA Knight the one that takes the title off of Logan Paul?
That's the best bet, honestly.
Yeah, so. Hey, speaking of Logan Paul, he retained the United States Championship in a triple threat against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
Asa,
I did really, I,
this, yes. This is my favorite match of the weekend.
Is it really?
I really liked this match.
I love the opening of this match. And like really the first third of it, of Logan Paul bails to the outside immediately. No, you guys fight. And it's Kevin Owens, who is the only person who keeps up with wrestling, like, continuity.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton. And who also has done a pretty good job so far of just like, I'm going to follow your lead on this one. And so they go after him and they don't. And so they just start beating the shit out of him. One of them, I don't remember the exact order, but like one of them went for a pinfall and they were like, hey, and you then hear Kevin Owens say, hey, only one of us can win. So let's just keep beating him up.
Yeah.
They
literally said it was like, let's figure this out later. Let's keep beating him up. And he's like, yeah, cool. And then Orton immediately, like, it's the whole thing of being like, all right, cool. I got Kevin to agree to this. Now I'm going to fuck him over.
Oh,
like
that was the last part, because before that, Paul like shoved Owens into Orton and Orton got mad. And he's like, no, he pushed me into you. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he pushed you? Yeah. All right, well, let's fuck him up. Like, and they just, I loved it. I loved that they used the actual logic behind it, and then that kind of went into the more traditional triple threat spot. They did the bullshit with the another fucking douchebag streamer was in the Prime bottle. I don't know who it was. I've never heard of iShowSpeed.
Thank you. That's who it was. I can't think of the name.
The only reason I know is because I got Wikipedia pulled up right now.
Yeah.
Who also like click on his Wikipedia page, and sure enough, there's a controversy section because he's a piece of shit. But he got the shit kicked out of him to the, like, the bottle, the lid on the bottle popped off. So that was funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, ultimately though, Logan Paul, ditched, Orton.
I was
like, shit canned Orton out of the ring.
I was so
hit the frog splash on Owens and got the pin.
I was so close to calling this finish verbatim.
You were.
Yeah. I didn't. It's formulaic. And I think that's why I appreciate it so much. Because, like, I'm a big fan of just, like, all right, cool. This is what's going to happen. And it's going to happen, but let's get there. And again, I just really loved the stories they were telling in this match, and just kind of it very much highlighted the silliness of professional wrestling in matches like that, while also falling into every stereotype. Like, it's the, that was the scream of triple threat matches.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you what's going to happen. We know it's a triple threat, two faces and a heel. We're going to get all of the tropes, and then it's going to end the way you think it's going to end. Like, and I think it was paint by numbers, but man, it showed me a picture that I loved seeing.
And it was awesome seeing them play with those tropes and then end up, oh, the trope kind of played out and the end ultimately.
Yeah, that's what it's Scream.
Like, no. Yeah.
Like,
so
Scream, yeah. Like, I don't like horror movies. Scream is my favorite horror franchise. And that's exactly what Scream does, where they make fun of the trope. They highlight the trope. Oh, this isn't like that's dumb. It doesn't work that way. Proceed. It's Always Sunny music. The trope proceeds to happen. Like,
yeah.
And I just like, I love that match. I think it is my favorite match of the weekend.
Yeah. Like I said, I really enjoyed it as well. It was a lot of fun to watch. Logan Paul is infuriatingly good at this. And Owens and Orton are both just great as well. And they did a great job with him here and in the buildup as well. Next up, Bayley defeated Io Sky to win the WWE Women's Championship. This is another match that I think people aren't talking about enough just because it's kind of being overshadowed by the finish.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked this match not as much as the LA Knight AJ Styles match, but it's up there.
That was a good match.
Of like, it's one of my favorite, like, because I also really did like McIntyre Rollins was a little too finisher kickouty.
Yeah.
For me. But it was a sprint. It was a lot of, it was fun. But I thought this was like a better match. I just don't know if I had as much fun watching it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I get
like
what you're saying.
McIntyre Rollins. So, Bayley finally gets her moment talking like in front of the crowd after dragging the quarantine Thunderdome era, kicking and screaming, only to get hurt right before the fans came back. So,
favorite video package of the weekend goes to this match, though, and because they use Hayley Williams' solo album, a song from there, Simmer, just such a good fucking song.
Yeah, and Bayley even acknowledging like, oh, they tried to make it happen, but their schedule couldn't cut it. Like, ah, oh, one day. Hard to believe that this is Bayley's first WrestleMania singles match. By the way,
they said that, and I was like, that's an insane statistic.
Yeah, that is. There's no way that that's true, and sure shit.
Nope, sure
it's true. But congratulations to Bayley. Congratulations to Io Sky as well. I'm excited to see what Damage Control does next. Got to assume that we're gonna get Dakota Kai versus Bayley at some point, and I am here for that.
Yeah,
to keep going. And then the main event of night two, Bloodline Rules. Cody Rhodes defeated Roman Reigns and Dalton.
Yeah,
didn't care for it.
Really, you didn't like it?
It's not that I didn't like it. It's just they have spent weeks telling us that, hey, if Rock and Roman win, Bloodline gets to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And then Rock and Roman won, and the Bloodline didn't show up for like 20 minutes. So there, in my head, there was no, I had no like investment. Because, like, they're not going to win. Like, neither of these guys is about to win with whatever they just hit. Because there hasn't been bullshit.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Solo. We haven't seen Jimmy. We haven't seen Rock. You know he's coming out. Like, there is a 0% chance that The Rock doesn't show up here. Even if they had lost that match, night one, Rock is showing up. Yeah. It's the fucking Rock. And if we've learned anything, The Rock is The Rock, and he is who people should be talking about all weekend. Whenever. The man made Muhammad Ali's widow give him a people's championship as not a heel bit, by the way. Like, are you okay? That's a choice.
So, you know,
hey, let's do a, you, wait, let's wait, do a no, really
you're,
nice.
You're leaving no, 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 out no. the, you're leaving out the best part of that belt.
No, hang on. Because he also wanted to make sure that, like, oh, let's get a profile of this man who's taken so many iconic photographs of Muhammad Ali. And what should we talk about? How great The Rock is.
Yeah.
Come the fuck on, now, man. Like, I'm sorry, but, like,
but
you were trying too hard to make yourself be likable. You're fucking Homelander.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so obvious and blatant. It's insufferable.
But Asa, that belt that Muhammad Ali's widow gave him because he's the people's champ, like, Muhammad Ali's widow gave it to him. So, like, what's in the middle of that belt? Like, a ring, a boxing glove, the greatest of all time? What?
No, it's the Brahma Bull. Like, fucking, so the you know, Rock. You it was know, made for The Rock.
Like, so, I, like, my brain was not hitting for me Sunday night. And we had had a conversation about it as the show was going on. I wasn't, like, I was in a good mood. I was watching the show. But, like, you know how I am, personally. And this is a open to the curtain for everybody else. If I am not in a good headspace, I play with action figures. Now, I don't, like, make matches with action figures, but, like, I have a fuck ton of action figures. I pull them off the shelf. I tinker with them. I'll move figures around. I'll do this, that, and another. I made a current Bloodline with, like, a more modern Rock Elite, and I put a belt that they gave the Elite 100 Rock, which is the Brahma Bull concept belt from, like, the 90s, and I put it on that Rock because it has the giant bull, and I sent that to, like, you guys. I sent it to Andy, and they were all like, holy fuck, that was already made? And I was like, no, yeah. It's not the exact same belt. It is different, but there is a giant gaudy Brahma Bull in the middle. Which is weird that that's still his part of his branding, because he doesn't even have that tattoo anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird thing, right? Like, he covered it up, but yet it's still a prominent part of his branding.
It's not that exact one, but it's still a bull. Like,
no, yeah, I get what you're saying, but nah, because it's, it's that bull that he got covered up on his arm. Like, that would be like Cody still doing the, don't ever cover that tattoo up, Cody, because whatever you use to cover it up is going to be your face. But, like, that would be like Cody still using the American Nightmare logo, but then covering that tattoo up. Be like, why'd you cover the tattoo up then? If yeah. that's still your brand, like, keep it. Yeah.
So, but that... yeah, so the match, everything was fine. Like, the match itself, I recognize that, no, this was a very good match. It was put together well.
Yeah.
It was executed well.
The ending Roman was beautiful.
Roman completely shitting on the crossroads. No one ever loses to that move. Kind of didn't sit great with me.
He fucked that move over Monday night, or the first night. He ate two in a row. And then, like, Rock hit him with the belt, and then a second later, Roman was up like nothing, and I was like...
Well, no, because it only the crossroads only affects Roman Reigns on WrestleMania if he can hit three of them. Three is the magic number. Remember from last year? It's got to be three. Oh, my God. The more I talk about it, the dumber it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jimmy Uso comes out, Jey Uso comes out and makes the save. Rock comes out. Rollins comes out, tries to make the save.
Solo came out first.
Oh, so that's right. Solo came out. Cena comes out. Then Cena hit the attitude adjustment on Roman. He's the only person to actually get, like, offense in on Roman, which I didn't love, but all right, whatever. That just seemed like a weird choice. Then Rock comes out. Rock is doing Rock shit. Seth Rollins comes out. Rollins immediately gets taken out by Roman because he does the Shield entrance. Little bit of a production fuck up here, because you don't see Rollins, like, struggling to get in the ring after everything he's been through this weekend, plus the lingering injuries we know about, but he knows that he can fuck with Roman most if he does the Shield shit. Roman immediately takes him out. Lights go out, gong hits, fucking Undertaker transported from his one-man show to chokeslam The Rock. I do like the headcanon that someone posted of just, like, because everyone's like, why? Like, why The Undertaker? What's his beef with The Rock? Like, I mean, they feuded randomly, but there's nothing really there.
Because he made him try to do the Taker-Rooney.
I like the better one is it's he's not there because of The Rock or Roman. He's there because of Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, they didn't play into that even a little bit, but that's what I choose to accept because it's the only way that makes sense. Because I guess Austin said no.
Yeah.
Because it was even 1,316 days of a reign.
Oh, God. Austin, yeah.
Yeah. So, Taker takes out Rock. And then we get the... Cody hits the three crossroads, finally wins the championship. Story is finished.
Are you not going to talk about the, like, best piece of lore that we got? Where Roman had Seth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
you're right.
I'm about to say, I'm not trying to be a dickhead, but, like, I think the best part of all this fuckery was Seth gets back in the ring and he's in the full shield garb, like garb, and Roman has a chair, and he has the choice to hit Cody or Rollins, and he's like, nah, fuck this guy, and hits Seth, very akin to the whenever Seth did it.
The like, shield breakup to the when point, Sammy did it.
Yeah, like literally to the point that Seth sold the same thing Roman did. And then like he and like I like that they did it the way they did it, where it was like he hits Rollins with a chair. Rhodes is still selling up because he's like, all right, cool. Because like Roman had that moment of like, no, fuck you, I'm gonna have my cake and eat it too. And like he's setting up for the spear, and that's whenever Cody just I love when Cody does the front kick to the face whenever Roman goes for the spear. Because, like, in all reality, that shouldn't work, because Roman's running at you full force. So, like, just kicking up with the KDV, because that's what it is, it's just, like, boom. And, like, I like the way Cody does it. It's a really, like, not a lot of people, like, get out of the spear that way. So I like that Cody does it. And, yeah, no, hits that and then hits the triple and then wins. But I look, like, I had a friend texting me during it that, like, is the most casual of wrestling fans. He watches wrestling the same way a lot of people watch the Super Bowl. He only watches Mania. So I texted him and I was like, they just paid off a 10-year chair shot.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? Because like he there was like a good 15 years he didn't watch any wrestling. The Rock, like Pat McAfee coming in and The Rock coming in, like they brought my friend back into watching sporadically. And I was like, yeah, if you flip it around, that's how the Seth Rollins broke up one of the strongest factions that WWE ever tried to sell us. And it was like almost exact. Like if he would have been in the other side of the ring, it would have been like positioning and everything would have been the same. They changed it a little bit, but I was like, they literally like paid off a 10-year chair shot in the most beautiful way.
Yeah. It was just the ghost of what created Roman Reigns at the Tribal Chief ultimately, and then what ended the Tribal Chief. Like it was fantastic. I don't know how I skimmed over it. It was because again, I got distracted yelling about the Undertaker.
My favorite Roman defense was against Seth Rollins whenever he has him in the guillotine.
He won't let me let go.
He will not let me let go. And just like, again, they've told so many good fucking stories in this blood, this whole bloodline arc. And I think Roman is the most compelling character in the whole situation.
And honestly, the thought that I have coming out of it is going to be the most hype thing in professional wrestling history when Roman and Seth tag team again.
Yeah.
When Roman makes the save for Seth somewhere that like it might be another 2 years from now.
Yeah.
But it's gonna happen and it's gonna fucking rule.
Yeah.
And I'm so stoked for it. But Cody counters the spear after Roman takes out Rollins, gets the win. We get the emotional call from Samantha Irvin. We get the big celebration. He calls out Bruce Pritchard, who gets booed, and Triple H. Also, real quick, so Cody trademarked the Renaissance era. And WWE then immediately was like, actually, this is the Triple H era. We're going to call it the Triple H era. And the second time they said it, I immediately turned on Triple H.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, I like, it's the same thing as The Rock. Like, okay, there's only so much of this fucking masturbatory presentation that I can take. But we got Cody with his family. Negative One was in there. His parent, his mom and his stepdad, like, it was a very, very wonderful moment to end on. We also didn't talk about the entrance where he went from smashing the throne to just aping all of Triple H's WrestleMania shtick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I ultimately, though, like, outside of the Rollins thing and Undertaker showing up being a legitimate surprise, I was just like, all right, yep. All right, here we go. That was a match. That was the main event.
That happened.
I was super underwhelmed. We got to get out of here, but overall, as a show, as a pay-per-view experience, WrestleMania Night 1 and 2, the Prime logo on the ring, way less intrusive than I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to get like a full color Prime bottle
logo. Yeah, like the red, white, and blue one. That's what I thought,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's the exact one I was thinking
of. Because that's the one they do. That's the one they use on UFC 5. Okay. And it is so annoying. And I was like, that's exactly what they're going to do.
I didn't even notice they were on the turnbuckles until, like, the fourth match of night one. Like, they were on really? The top and the bottom turnbuckle, and it didn't even occur to me. That said, all of the branding advertisements, like, I'm sure it made them a shitload of money, and more power to them, but, like, it made for an objectively worse viewing experience. The Wheatley vodka commercials, I didn't need the Dude Wipes, like, sponsorship and branding and all of that, like... Yeah. It's the same thing we've talked about every WWE PLE of just like the pacing is all over the place because of the ad breaks with Peacock and all of that. So, but overall, like it was fine. I didn't love this WrestleMania like I was really hoping I was going to, and it may have been because my expectations were so high, but like both night main events kind of dragged a lot. Mm-hmm. Until shit that mattered.
I really loved this WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoyed it a whole lot. There was, again, I love WrestleMania 34. That's the one we were at. And I've watched it since. And I can say that, like, WrestleMania 34, if you would take the main event out, is probably one of my favorite WrestleManias. If you took the main events out of these two shows, they are amazing WrestleManias. Or if you cut them in half. I think the tag match, if you would have cut 30 minutes off of it, would have been a really good match. They did way too much with... It was a long walk for a short trip. Yeah. Night one. Night two, they could have cut 10 minutes off the beginning. And just got straight to all the Gaga bullshit, and it would have been just as good. Because nobody can tell you what happened before Jimmy shows up. That being said, like, everything... And it's not even that I hated those two matches, it's just they were super long. Everything else I loved. Even, like, the Mysterio tag team match and the Philly Street fight. Like, I enjoyed all of it. There was really... The only eye-rolly stuff happened in the main event. Everything else I adored. And whenever you have two nights of Mania, and out of 13 matches, only two of them I really didn't vibe with a whole lot, like, that's an A.
It really bums me out. I think the thing that most bums me out, actually, is the fact that, like, the stuff that I liked the least was the Bloodline stuff. And Jimmy, not great. And both of the main events just were a slog to get through at some points.
Mm-hmm.
Before, like, the night one lasted way too long. Night two went too long before the stuff that mattered, that we knew was going to happen, finally happened.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, like, I liked... The ladder match was fun. Rhea Becky was good. Even the, like, Mysterio Andrade Dominic Santos tag match was fun. Sami Zayn and Gunther did a whole lot of heavy lifting. Night one, for my level of enjoyment, because I don't think anything comes close to touching that on night one. And then night two was, I think, I liked it better. You have Damian cashing in. The street fight was enjoyable. LA Knight and AJ Styles was great. The triple threat was great. Bayley and Io was great. Like, like you said, there really wasn't anything outside of, like, Jay and Jimmy. There wasn't anything that I would call bad.
Yeah.
And even that, like you said, it was everything was executed fine. It just wasn't the match that I thought they were going to have.
Yeah. If there was any match that needed to be a Philly Street fight, it was theirs.
Yeah.
Hunter said that on PWU last week, and I was like, no, I agree. Like,
yeah. So, I don't know. It was an okay WrestleMania overall. I wish I liked it better,
mm-hmm.
but just like the stuff that I didn't like really kind of stands out as like, man, that's just not great.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully you liked it. If you're listening to this, let us know what you think. Am I way off base? Are we both off base with Snoop Dogg's commentary?
We're not.
Are we the ones that are high? Get it? Cause he smokes weed.
I wish I would have been.
It might've helped.
Yeah.
It might've helped. Anyway, let us know. You can follow the show at Nerdiest Part on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. I am at the 5-star man with the number 5. Go to my Twitter or my Instagram and you can see my sick new Donatello ice cream tattoo.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. Dalton, Mr. D Anthony, NPOTR on Twitter. But yeah, let us know. We will be back next week. We'll be talking about more of the new stuff because there is some new stuff to talk about. But just no time. So that has been our WrestleMania review. We appreciate you all very, very much for hanging out with us. We hope you enjoyed WrestleMania. We hope you enjoyed Raw after Mania, SmackDown after Mania, NXT after Mania, all of that nonsense. We'll talk a little bit about that next week as well. But until then, have a great night. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And as always, watch more wrestling.